The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. Star! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Starting to look at the bench. Here comes Settlerini across the line. Loses on the face off. It's an empty net for Minnesota, and they score! Right up the middle for Zuccarello. Just as the Sharks were pulling goaltender Askarov for the extra attacker, it's fed down the ice by Minnesota, and they lead 3-1.
Yeah, well, I think we responded from the game in Utah last night and did some things better than we've done in the past. And you know, I thought this was game similar to the Jersey and Tampa game, kind of what our identity should look like. Obviously, we have some brain cramps there and give up a couple goals and some chances that, you know, can't happen in this league. But on the other side of it, we did some positive.
I think that goes with doing the right things. I don't know if it's creating luck, but just doing the right things, and the hockey gods will treat you the right way. You know, it's that's the saying, doing the right things, doing the little things. I think that's the biggest thing with growing this team into a winning team. You got to do the little things first, and then other things will follow.
All right, what is happening, everyone? How are we all doing on this Sunday morning as the San Jose Sharks walk away from a 3-1 loss to the Minnesota Wild last night at the Tank? Great vibe at the Tank last night for Pride Night. A sellout crowd, great energy in the building, the roar that erupted from SAP Center when William Eklund scored and cut the score to a 2-1 deficit was remarkably loud, and there was great energy in the building at all points throughout the evening. I wish that the Sharks had been able to ride the energy in the building to at least getting a point out of that game. Unfortunately, they were not able to, but great vibe in the building last night. Great atmosphere, as we are more and more often reminded what it's like when the Tank is really packed. Not to say that the smaller crowds aren't great as well. Sharks fans are some of the best fans in professional sports. I don't think that there are crowds that are better. I think that there are fans that are as good as across the league, because I think that fans everywhere are passionate. But I mean, when you have the Tank popping like it was last night, it's a remarkable place to watch a game. Just great, great atmosphere last night. Great job for everybody who was there. And I had a heck of a lot of fun just taking in the whole vibe last night. But most importantly for me in San Jose was watching after they would respond to one of their more flat performances of the year, like they had against Philadelphia and Calgary. That was what we saw against Utah. And you hate to see those games because the Sharks are better than that. And they should have more jump, they should have more energy, and they should have more overall just kind of explosiveness and emotional desire to their game. And we got that from San Jose last night. They were generating shot volume. They were moving the puck well. Sure, there were a couple turnovers, but their puck management was significantly better than what it was in the previous couple of games. So that was a big moment for San Jose just to show what they can do and how much they can generate, because I think they need to see that more consistently, that they can generate offense, that they can get shot volume going. And I know that one of my arguments for, you know, so many games is, well, you generate shot volume, you're going to get more offense. That didn't necessarily go to plan last night, but I do feel that more often than not, if you do get that kind of shot volume, you are going to be rewarded with more offense. And I feel that hockey is one of those sports that rewards your hard work. If you put in the hard work, if you do the right things, you will walk away with the results that you want more often than not. That isn't the way that it went down last night, but overall, last night was more in line with the performance that I'd like to see from the Sharks. And if they do play that way, I think that more often than not, they will be rewarded with that type of an effort. You can play well and still walk away with a loss in professional sports. That's the nature of the game. But I didn't have a problem with the Sharks' loss the way they did, when I looked at their performances versus Utah, versus Calgary, versus Philadelphia, where you just felt, the compete level wasn't where it needed to be. It was totally where it needed to be last night. You just ran into one of the all-time greats in Marc-Andre Fleury, who has ownage over the Sharks at SAP Center, and you're thinking, well, Ted, come on. You know, what about such and such game? No, you need to understand this. Fleury improved his career regular season save percentage at SAP Center to 946, and overall, home and road regular season to 940. He is the fifth goalie to record 20 regular season saves versus the Sharks, and he just has unbelievable skills. It's his ninth straight regulation win at SAP Center. His last regulation loss at San Jose was 11-7-0-9 with Pittsburgh. Last night, you had Macklin Celebrini putting 16 attempts on goal. 10 missed shots for Macklin overall were the most by any NHL player since the stat was first tracked in 05-06. So the generation was there. Macklin Celebrini was the engine. Marc-Andre Fleury was the wall. An absolute astounding performance from him. And at some point, you kind of have to look at Marc-Andre Fleury and just take your hat off to him because he's been so good for so long, and you just have to marvel at what he's been able to do up to this point of his career, and just he just continues to do it. And I would love to watch him have another great run with Minnesota in the postseason, but he saw 37 shots against. He allowed one goal, 36 saves, a 973 save percentage in 60 minutes on the ice. I honestly don't know what you're supposed to do about that. I don't know how you're supposed to beat that. Just as we have seen Mackenzie Blackwood and Yaroslav Askarov lately put together some mighty performances where they do their impression of a brick wall, Marc-Andre Fleury did his impression last night of a brick wall, and sometimes you're just not going to be able to find the breakthrough. No matter how many good shots you create, no matter how many shots on net you are able to create throughout the game, you're just not going to find the breakthrough. Now, I would have liked to have seen the Sharks get more shots up front. I felt that too many of the shots were coming from, you know, inside or outside the circles. There were not enough chaos shots in front where you're making double and triple attempts to make Marc-Andre Fleury really fight it off. There were some, but obviously it just wasn't enough. It was one of those nights where you needed to be, you know, completely phenomenal in chaos, just as the one goal that the Sharks created was, where you had William Eklund right there to pick up the loose change and then put it home. But that's how it goes in certain nights in the NHL. And if you're not able to come up with that big time performance, well, guess what? You're going to end up on the wrong side of someone else's big time performance. But Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't know. He just continues to be an absolute monster against San Jose. Macklin Celebrini last night looked like an absolute monster. He had only had 1 point in his last five games. He came up with a point last night. He was the engine for the Sharks offense. And I think that's the most important thing to see for everyone. When you watch his ability to make the Sharks productive, when you watch his ability to get pucks on frame, when you watch his ability to create opportunities elsewhere, when you watch his ability to put defenders on their heels, these are the things that we look at with Macklin that make him such a next level talent and make everyone feel that he is a generational player that San Jose was able to acquire with that number one overall pick. I don't want to play the, oh, is he better than Bedard? Because obviously these guys have just, you know, maybe 20 years in front of them in the NHL to which we can define which one of them is the quote-unquote better player. But when you do watch Macklin Celebrini, you see why so many people this year have been so shocked at how productive and how impactful he is for being, you know, 18 years old. He changes the game. When he breaks the puck out, when he gets the zone entry with speed, when he's moving the puck, when he's creating chances, when he's making shots, everyone is that much more dangerous because of what he is doing. He is not just himself an impactful player, but because of his gravitational effect on the defense, he's creating opportunities for everyone else as well. And to see that from an 18-year-old in the NHL, that is rather rare. And there were some looks last night where you think, okay, Macklin's got to make that shot. He's got to be able to put that, you know, in a little bit of a bad opportunity. He's got to be able to control his shot. He can't put it high. He can't put it wide. All are relatively valid takes. Maybe if we were talking about somebody who was 3 or 4 years into their NHL career, he is 3 or 4 months into his NHL career. And so right now, while he is just oozing with talent and showing everyone how good he can be, you still see the unpolished aspects of his game. You still see that he is not entirely there in terms of his finish, in terms of his overall product, but you see the direction it's heading in, right? I mean, it's hard to ignore what he is able to do game in, game out, and then a special game like last night where he is just creating for himself and others. That's one of those things where you look at him and then you look at some of the other greats in this league and you see, boy, I see a lot of those similarities. I've seen similar games from Connor McDavid. I've seen similar games from Sidney Crosby, right? Like, those are the types of performances that you think that when the Sharks have more talent overall, when they are a better team, when their younger talent is more developed, when they're in a place where they are just more of that top-end team, that's going to be a game that yields like 3-4 goals against a Marc-Andre Fleury just because of the punishing nature. Where the Sharks are right now, they can still get beat by an incredible goalie. And I will give my hat off to any great goalie who has a great night in the NHL. A hot goalie can beat a great team on any given night. But you do feel that when the Sharks are at a different point, when they are skating like that, when they have Macklin Celebrini leading the charge, when they have him just shooting the lights out, when they have him just putting pressure on the goalie at all times, they're going to be able to break through. They're going to be able to find what they want to find. And that is just Macklin Celebrini, the type of game-changing player he can be. And I do say game-changing. When he is on the ice, the game changes. And I think that is important to see because it will make other players want to come from to San Jose and say, I want to play alongside with that guy, because we saw Joe Thornton make everyone around him better. I think in that same aspect, you have Macklin Celebrini is the type of player that can make everyone around him better, and that makes San Jose that much more of a destination. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that this is William Eklund's second full year in the NHL. And when I look at where he is in his second full year, it's an exciting product, and he's continuing to generate since he's come back from that injury. He's got a lot of jump in his legs. He was active last night. He was moving. And once again, he found himself in the right place at the right time to pick up a rebound and get San Jose back into the game. He's a fan favorite. Everyone loves what he's able to do. And the roar that erupted from SAP Center when he scored that goal last night to cut it to 2-1 was exceptionally loud, and a great vibe and a great atmosphere. And you give a lot of credit to him for just getting into a dirty space, a hard space at that point of the game, to be able to pick up the loose change and give the Sharks a score that they desperately needed at that point to wrest some emotional momentum back in their favor. But, you know, William Eklund, since he's come back, has really looked more and more like the star player that we all know he's capable of being. And I think that, again, he's one of those players that as he continues to grow into his career, while he's not putting up the huge numbers as of yet, he is going to find himself more of that point per game type player, more in that realm where he's getting more goals, more in that realm where he's getting more assists. And as the Sharks have more talent on this team, these are numbers that will increase as well. But you've watched his game develop over these last few years. You know, you had him for a few games back in the 21-22 season, and then a little bit in the 22-23 season. Then last year was his first full year. This is his second full year. You watch the development happening in real time. And I think that's the most fun thing to me, is that player development in professional sports, I believe, is a little bit overrated. But in hockey, because these players often come in so young, you get to see them develop a little bit more. And so I think with William Eklund, we've watched his development. We've watched him turn into somebody who has the ability to be a star player. And that, to me, is the most exciting aspect of a player like that, is that you see, you know, obviously a player like Macklin Celebrini, they come in at such a high level that they're a star right away. William Eklund, you saw the star potential. You didn't know if it was going to trend that way overall, but now it has been trending in that direction. It has been giving the Sharks another piece to build around. And when you look at, you know, a Macklin Celebrini and a Will Smith and a William Eklund being big offensive pieces, and then you're still developing a Shakir Mukhmudula, and you've watched Yaroslav Askarov perform as of late, you're looking at Colin Graf in the last couple of games, you see all this young talent coming together. And while the Sharks aren't there as of yet, you do see the very bright future that is ahead. And, you know, to that point, Colin Graf, I know that he is still a work in progress, but boy, there's a lot of Charlie hustle to his game that is not false hustle. But his work rate that you see out there on the ice, combined with how strong he is on the puck, I mean, that guy, considering he's not, you know, a huge dude, the way that he's won some battles, the way that he's willing to go in deep, it shows you that he's kind of a load and that he's stronger than he looks. And there is just so much potential in his game to where, and I've made the comparison multiple times, that I see a lot of Logan Couture in his game. Not that I'm expecting him to be the same player in terms of overall points production that Logan Couture is, but I just see a lot of similarities in terms of the strength that they have on the puck, in terms of their ability to go out there and work hard, be on the power play, be on the penalty kill, be a two-way player, have the full game out there. That's what I see when I watch Colin Graf. Now, if he does end up having the point production of a Logan Couture, that would be absolutely phenomenal. But you're watching Colin Graf not exactly look out of place in the NHL. And, you know, you might say, well, Ted, he's not getting a whole lot of points. He's only got a couple since he's been up. The Sharks aren't scoring, guys. The Sharks' offense is nowhere to be found as of late. And I think that is a huge part of what's been going on with the lack of production from Macklin Celebrini and a William Eklund. But you go back to the start of January, the start of 2025, they beat Tampa 2-1. They beat New Jersey 3-2. That's five goals. They lost to Vegas 4-2. That is seven goals. They lost to Utah 2-1. That is eight goals. They lost to Minnesota 3-1. That is nine goals that they have scored through five games in the calendar year of 2025. I don't know who of you needs to hear this, but that is not enough goals to get it done in the NHL. So the lack of production that we've seen as of late comes in line with the Sharks' overall inability to score goals. You can't get points if you're not getting goals. Now, yes, the Sharks run into a hot netminder last night, but if we look at the other goals in the games that have preceded it, there's not been enough shot generation. There has not been enough offensive work rate from the team. Obviously, you get Jake Walman back into the lineup last night. To me, it is no surprise that with him back in there, you get more productivity from the Sharks overall. You see how much he means to the lineup. You see his overall ability to impact things, and that's exactly what you expect him to be. Walman did have a point last night, along with Macklin Celebrini on the William Eklund goal. So yeah, you get Jake Walman back in the lineup. You get more shot volume. You get another offensive weapon. It leads you to a better performance overall. And so I can't, you know, really argue with Jake Walman's impact and how much he has been missed heading into the game last night. Hopefully, as the Sharks go out on the road now for a very difficult road trip, he will be able to add that much more offense. But, you know, these next five games from San Jose, they are going to be at Detroit, at Columbus, at the Islanders, at Boston, and at Nashville before they're back home on Thursday the 23rd, hosting Nashville. It's going to be very telling for San Jose in this very difficult month where they were able to get a couple of wins. They won the first two of the season in first two of the year in 2025, and they've lost three since. And now they go out onto the road, and they've got five games where I would love to see if they could get an above 500 road trip. You've got five games. You know what? I don't think any of these games present themselves as quote unquote unwinnable. Yeah, going into Boston, especially at a 10 a.m. start time, that's not going to be easy. But I do think that those five games are going to give the Sharks a lot of opportunities to get wins. And I think the Sharks should be looking at that. And then, you know, they're home for three before they go back out onto the road to Seattle to finish up the month of January. But ultimately, San Jose has to make the most of this month to really show what they can be for the future. And I think that, you know, as you head into February and then, you know, the break, you want to be showing everyone just exactly what you can do, whether or not you want to be here, because there are decisions looming on the other side of this for where Mike Greer is going to go at the trade deadline. Not that I'm expecting him to be a buyer or anything like that, but I, you know, I've seen talks of contract extensions with guys that are, you know, maybe perceived as being on the block. Cody Ceci was a rumor that popped up last week. That's no insider information to me. That was just a story that popped up. And he's a guy who I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people are looking at thinking, hey, that guy could help us in the playoffs. Same thing with Mikael Granlund, right? Same thing with a Luke Cunningham. These are names that we've heard time and time again pop up for trade deadline discussions. So we'll have to see where things go. But, you know, Mike Greer will be looking at the play in this month of January very specifically to see where he's going to go overall. But, you know, the Sharks, if they put forth more effort like they did in last night's game, more efforts, I should say, I think that is going to lead them to success. And it's very easy to point to a high-quality performance and say, do that again, that was good. What do we mean, right? It's like, well, it's shot volume. Shot volume to me, and I know that people don't always like this, but if you put pucks on frame, more often than not, you're going to find that the overall accumulation of shots is going to lead to greater success offensively. That doesn't mean that you just shoot for the sake of shooting, but you have to not let perfect be the enemy of good. You can't wait for a perfect shot attempt in place of a good shot attempt. You've got to put pucks on frame, create chaos in front, look for second and third opportunities, have guys waiting for the rebound like they did with William Eklund, crash the net, make yourself hard to play against in the dirty spaces, and you're going to find success. I have learned that much over this much time in the NHL. If you get down low, if you get into the tight spaces, if you get on top of the crease, if you push and battle and are ready for a rebound or ready for a tip play, it's going to help your team get success. Also, the jump overall from San Jose, considering how, I wouldn't say their legs look tired in Utah, but they didn't have the tremendous jump that they needed. They had a lot of jump to their game last night, and I think that that was a big crowd at SAP Center. You had a lot of energy in the building. You had Yaroslav Askarov, who brings energy in and of himself. Macklin Celebrini was dialed in from the get-go. Jake Wallman back in the lineup was a big help. Nico Sturm back in the lineup was also big for San Jose as well. You are missing some key players last night. You know, that was obviously going to be part of where the narrative was going to be. But getting important players like Nico Sturm back out there onto the ice, that was going to be big for San Jose. But every team in the NHL deals with injury. Minnesota was missing players from their lineup. They did not let it slow them down overall. Granted, they are in a very different spot than where San Jose is in their timeline as they try to be one of the top tier and true contenders in the NHL up to this point of the season. Yaroslav Askarov last night did not have his quote-unquote best game, but you know, I thought the first goal was maybe one that he wanted back and that that's a save that we've seen him make before. The second goal was an absolute snipe of a rocket, and I think that puck absolutely exploded on net, and Askarov just probably wasn't expecting the shot to be that hard from that distance in that situation. But still, you give up two goals at home. That feels like it should be a winnable game for San Jose. Let's get a look at some of those highlights from last night. It was Minnesota that struck first just under 6 minutes into the first period.
Wild skated out. Zuccarello, always dangerous against the Sharks. Lead pass down the right wing and a little backhand shot. Score! Zuccarello led it down the right wing side. What a finish on the backhand shot toward the front of the net. Wow! Marco Rossi, that center on that line, getting that up top on Askarov, and that is a 1-0 Minnesota lead.
That made it a 1-0 game, and then 4:34 of the second, Matt Boldy made it a 2-0 game.
Here comes Minnesota moving in, and a quick shot by Boldy, score! Jake Wallman getting back, Boldy coming down the right wing side, took a kind of a broken play on the wing. He's a left-handed shot, and just inside the blue line, he lets a shot rip. That was a great feed, and Matt Boldy makes it 2-0. Boldy now has goals in four straight games against the Sharks. It's Minnesota 2, the Sharks 0.
Down 2-0 and getting late into the second period, the Sharks needed some life, and they got it by way of a William Eklund goal assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Jake Wallman.
Eklund, Celebrini, Toffoli out there. Here's Eklund flying. Lead pass, Celebrini breaking and shooting and save. Eklund shoots and scores! Eklund and Celebrini combined beautifully on the rush. Celebrini's first chance was stopped by Fleury, but the rebound popped out, and the backhand of Eklund's stick got on it, and he bangs it home to get the Sharks that desperate goal that they so badly needed. 2:30 to play, second period. It is a Minnesota 2-1 lead, and William Eklund gets his 9th of the season.
But from that point on, Marc-Andre Fleury just continued to be a brick wall against San Jose. His ownership of the Sharks in SAP Center perhaps never more obvious.
Here's that. Granlund throws into the slot, a tip by Wallman on goal. That's a great save by Fleury off of Jake Wallman, who snuck around the back door, was wide open. Granlund set him up perfectly, and with 8:10 to go in the third period, that's probably the save of the game.
And it was that just repeated over and over as Marc-Andre Fleury kept the Sharks off the board until an empty netter.
Askarov starting to look at the bench. Here comes Celebrini across the line, loses on the face off. It's an empty net for Minnesota, and they score! Right up the middle for Zuccarello, just as the Sharks were pulling goaltender Askarov for the extra attacker. It's fed down the ice by Minnesota, and they lead 3-1.
3-1 on the empty netter. That would be your final. The Sharks unable to mount that comeback to tie it at 2 and force overtime. But, you know, there have been a couple instances lately where Macklin Celebrini has lost the puck in a critical situation late in the game. Obviously, these are things that he's still learning. He can't always skate through a million defenders and dangle through all the traffic in the world. But I do understand what he's trying to do. And he'll learn when and not to pick his and choose his spots and how to go at it. But he's trying to make something happen. And we all know that in sports, when you try and force it, it doesn't always end up in the right way. So again, it's something he's learning. It's not the difference maker in the Sharks season. I can't even say that it was the difference maker in last night's game. But hopefully, he is just learning to better manage these situations, not force things, not just try and make something happen all on his own. He's got to learn more about his teammates. He's got to learn more about the support around him. He's got to know when to slow down and not always be playing at a million miles per hour. I'm okay with him having to learn, because those lessons that are painful right now ideally will lead to him making the right decisions later on in his career. I'm not even saying that it's the wrong decision per se, but I think he is learning about what he is capable of doing in all moments in the NHL, to where you will later see a player that knows how to better handle those situations. And sometimes they will include him dangling through all sorts of players to make his way in on net. But, you know, in last night's game, and then, you know, the game against Edmonton, you know, these are lessons that he's learning in real time. As promised, I wanted to finish up the conversation I was having with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California, host of Pre and Post Game Live, as we talked about Mikael Granlund at the trade deadline for San Jose. And I was playing devil's advocate, saying, could that money be invested in a better player?
Well, if they could figure out the Frank Vetrano deal, if they could do something with some deferred money in there, and it ends up being a $3 million a year hit, and some of that money is deferred, yes, indeed, I would say. Now, I know I've heard reports that NHL is going to try and put the kibosh and all that. But anyway, truthfully, though, I think it is, in a sense, if you can get him around 5-5, because he's 5 right now. So if you get a 5-5, maybe 6 for 2-3 years. I think it's a good investment, because it gives you more time with Will Smith. And if Will Smith doesn't grow into that second line center that you drafted him to be, it gives you a little bit more time. You don't have to rush that. Like we saw with Tomáš Hertl too, with all those years when he was playing wing and then he finally moved to the center. So I think it buys you a little more time with your prospects, that you don't have to rush them to be in spots that they're not developed into yet. And I think it's a good voice. Also, part of this is the Sharks have a ton of money when it comes to salary cap. If they're a team that was more up against the cap, even if they're a rebuilding team that was up against the cap, I say maybe it's not. I like him for that reason. I think he also is a 200-foot player that can help these guys. But I also see your point. I mean, he's 32, so he's getting so old. 32 is just ancient by human means. Just kidding. It's so funny. Every time we talk about it, it's like, oh yeah, he's super old, but he's super young.
Yeah. We're talking about being washed is significantly younger than both of us.
Yeah, I think he's. Yeah, but I see where you're coming from. I mean, if the numbers are not right, can you get someone else that would replace that? That's the other question you have to ask. Is I think they still would need to get a center at some point to replace Mikael Granlund. I know Wenberg's back next year. You know, you have Macklin. You hope Will's going to grow into that. But let's say Will, let's say they really like Will on the wing, then do you have someone there to take up those minutes? I just think that's a question you got to make. Now, the other part of this is what are other teams offering?
Right.
Right. If you kind of what Greer said, he couldn't pass up a second round pick for McKenzie. That was he said was his reasoning. If someone offers you a first round pick, depending on where that is, if that's inside the top 15, I just heard the Bruins need a playmaker at center. I know he's a little bit older, but maybe they're trying to make a late push and they're offering you a first round pick, or, you know, maybe depending on what you can get for him, I think that also plays into it. And, you know, they're having conversations with him and his agent about what he wants to do. And, you know, you just don't always know what the player wants. And I also think that's something that fans should keep in mind, is you always see one side like, oh, he gets traded. You don't know what those conversations like. And maybe he said, you know what, I'm not willing to go lower than X. And as much as I like it here, let's go see if I can go a place that wins. Or he says, you know, I'll take a little bit of a discount. Let's run this back. I like where we are, and let's see what we can do in San Jose.
All right, we're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yang.